Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Drives it high, end over end. Saquon Barkley circles and takes it at the 3, 5, 10. To his right with a block, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40. Barkley to midfield. Barkley to the 40. Near side, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State. Saquon Barkley, 97 yards for a touchdown. Penn State's first kickoff return since Chaz Wright back in 2011 on the opening kickoff of the 2011 season. Nelson to the right. He'll take it. The freshman burst through the 35-40 and spun around and fumbles the football. Picked up by Kabinda at the 45. Kabinda to the 40. Jason Kabinda with a fumble recovery to the Indiana 39. And the Nittany Lions make something big happen. Christian Campbell ripped it out. Side Johnson, far side, it's Blacknall and Hamilton. Barkley to the right of McSorley, first and goal at the 1. McSorley, quarterback draw, right side, leans in, he's got it, touchdown, Penn State. Kicks it, tumbling punt, it's returnable for Harris at the 14. Hit by Irvin Charles, he fumbled the ball, picked up by Scott, touchdown, Penn State. Running back each side, two far side, one near side, third and 4, their own 31. Lego back to pass. Lego sets pressure and down he goes. Kevin Givens at the 20, or Jason Kabinda at the 20-yard line. He had a great series there, Jack.
I'll tell you, he ends up
play action fake. They dump it off to Barkley. Great catch at the 30, 40, 45, 50. Breaks the tackle, 45, 40, 35. Inside the 30 and down to the 27-yard line. Derek, a one-handed catch. They bring blitz back, set. Near corner, Hamilton reaches up. He's got it. Touchdown, Penn State. It is a first quarter avalanche for the Nittany Lions. Third down and 7. Blitz coming. Ramsey delivers near side. Intercepted O'Reilly. 30, 25, and Amani takes it down to the 21-yard line. That's the tone setter Penn State was looking for. Waits. Good snap. Put down. Kick by Davis is on its way. The kick by Tyler Davis is good. Penn State leads at 31-14. They'll give it away. Williams outside. Camp Brown is there to take it down. Fumble. Lost fumble. The football. Penn State has got it, I think. They're all around it at the 50. The Nittany Lions get a big turnover here. Camp Brown is the one that forced it, Jack. And the Nittany Lions come up with the football. It's going to be Parker Cothran. Barkley's to the right of McSorley on first and 10, Indiana 24.
Here comes a blitz.
And on that blitz, he steps up, throws for Hamilton near corner, reaches up. He's got it. Touchdown, Penn State. Show blitz, and they bring everybody again. Back goes McSorley, long and deep near side, looking for Hamilton. Reaches up and makes the catch and breaks Deion Butler's career receiving record. His 180th reception of his career. He is the all-time leading receiver at Penn State, and he does so in spectacular fashion. Barkley to the right. Pushes it to Barkley, sweeping near side. Now throws it downfield. He's got Hamilton to the 5. Touchdown, Penn State on the option pass from Saquon Barkley to Deshaun Hamilton.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the special teams is something we've been working really hard on for 3 years. And, you know, the combination of development of fundamentals and skills and the development of our players and recruiting, we're playing really fast on special teams right now. We got a great kicker. We got a great punter. We're just doing some really good things there. And it's great to see those guys, you know, get some success. Obviously, we got to clean up our field goal unit. I'm not happy with that at all. And that's on me. I'm going to get that fixed. But overall, you know, very, very pleased with special teams. Defensively, the turnovers were big. Still think we can play cleaner in some things, but the turnovers were huge. You know, that's a team that threw the ball pretty much on everybody, and our pass defense was excellent. Offensively, you know, we're explosive. We can make plays. You know, we got to get our running game going. Obviously, everybody's game plan is to load the box and stop Saquon Barkley, but we still got to be able to, you know, finish blocks, sustain blocks, and be a little little bit more efficient in our running game.
James, talk about on a defensive side. I thought Kabinda in traffic was outstanding today.
Well, who knows better than you about linebacker play? Yeah, he's been really good all year long. You know, I think you're just going to continue to see him get better and highly productive. He's very comfortable in the box with his weight down now. He's able to make plays on the perimeter, and he's just taking control in there and running the defense. So I'm really pleased with him.
It seems like at 8 or 9 pounds that he has lost is really showing right now.
I think so. I think he's kind of, you know, I think as we all do, you know, Jack, you know this, you kind of like as a young player, you think you got to get, you know, big and all that kind of stuff, but it's got to be the right weight. And right now his body fat is way down. He's really strong and explosive, you know, which allows him to still play in the box and take on blocks and knock people back at 235 pounds. But now he's a step faster. So I'm just really pleased with him.
When they reprint the record book, James, it'll show that the new all-time leader in receptions is Deshaun Hamilton. 9 more today, giving him 181 in his career, all 181 with you as the head coach. Your thoughts on what he's been able to accomplish so far in his career and what he did today?
I'm just really proud of him, and I talked about it with the team afterwards. He's a really good example. He's a guy that came in as a true freshman, had an injury, had to sit out his whole freshman year. Has 1 year where he leads the Big Ten in catches. The next year, you know, his numbers go way down. He stays positive. He keeps working hard and just, you know, keeps chipping away at it. And I think, you know, not only for our football team and for our football players, but also in life, it's just a great example. You keep working hard, you keep persevering, you stay positive. And here's a guy that has had a tremendous career. They've been playing football here a long time with a lot of good football players, and he's number one on the all-time list. So I'm just really proud of him, and I think he's a great example for our young players. Yeah, you know, our fits at the safety position. Tim Banks is, I think, doing a really, really good job for us. Brent Pry, you know, with our scheme and overall kind of big picture of our defense. But our safeties, I think, have been critical. You know, we've been pretty good at being gap sound. And, you know, when the linebackers take their gaps and the D-tackles and D-ends take their gaps, and now it falls off the ledge, as we say, to the safety, or the safety has to fit in the box. They've done a really good job. Marcus is so physical. There's some plays today on the sideline that were violent. I mean, violent plays. You know, so I'm really, really pleased with our safeties and really how we're tackling overall.
James Franklin after the game. A couple quick notes on Deshaun Hamilton. Deshaun comes from a military family, so he is very much a yes sir and no sir kind of young man. His brother, and I want to say I believe his brother has autism, has been an incredible inspiration to him. And Deshaun loves his brother. Loves him. And he is a hard worker. He was an intern with the State College Spikes all summer. So he worked the video board. He also worked camera in each dugout. And they have camera wells and camera bays adjacent to each dugout. So some of the on-field shots that you saw on the big screen if you were at a State College Spikes game probably were from him. It was a pretty well-rounded experience for him interning with the State College Spikes. And again, the same thing. Everybody who worked with the Spikes were so impressed by it. He's a yes sir and no sir kind of guy. And he went out on last year and he had that game against Pitt and he bounced back from that. Had a couple of really big games last year, including the Big Ten Championship game, where he had over 100 yards receiving. Saeed Blacknall made some really big plays in that game, but Hamilton also had over 100 yards receiving in that game, and he was a chain mover all night in Indianapolis. And to see him do this now at this stage of his career, where he now has the door open, if things continue to go well and he continues to be the model of consistency that he has been, he can get over 200 catches in his career. He has 181 right now. So really well done, well earned for Deshaun Hamilton. All right, a lot coming up on the show this week. Today's show will include Ben Jones, StayCollege.com. Joe Susan will be on the show today. We also have Matt Leon. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune at 3:35 and Brad Nessler from CBS on the show as well at 4:06. Neil Coulong will be on Wednesday's show, talk about the Steelers, as well as Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times-Tribune. So we have a lot going on this week. Joe Susan's coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll talk about Bucknell football. All right, we'll take a break. Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades because they've been able to find their customers the right insurance that fits their needs and also have done so for the best price. Whether it's auto, home, life, business, you name it, they carry it, they find it for you. And if there's a claim, they act as if it happened to them. Reason? Customer comes first, and they are your partner in this. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Heading into the big Friday night showdowns for Selins Grove, Lewisburg, Shikellamy, and Milton. And we will do that on Thursday this week. Looking forward to that very, very much. Of course, today, Joe Susan will talk about Bucknell. And get you up to date on that. Bottom of the hour news update, anything that happens dealing with what happened late last night in Las Vegas, which is stunning, shocking. You can't put words to it. We'll get you up to date on that. If there's anything that happens in between, we'll get you up to date on that. But it's just can't really put that into words. Let's see. Tonight, Monday Night Football, will be the Chiefs and the Washington Redskins. Right now, the Eagles are in first place in the division. And not only that, they're the only team you feel like is playing well in the division. Now, we'll see what Washington does tonight. The Redskins have lost only, what, on opening day to Philadelphia, and that's been it. Played great against the Raiders. Played great the week before at home. Well, actually, they played at Los Angeles against the Rams. They played really, really well. And then they came back and they played really well against the Raiders. The Raiders have not been what I thought they would be at all. My brother was here this weekend, and boy, did we have a good time. We had a great time. He had a really good time at the game, he and his wife and sister-in-law and her husband were here. It's interesting to get a perspective from people who are here once in a while. My brother had not been to a game here since, I think the last time he was at a game was 2 years ago, 3 years ago he was at a game, 3 years. And his wife had never been. And sister-in-law and her husband, they hadn't been here for a game in 10 years. They were at the Notre Dame game in 2007. And in talking to them, they talked about they couldn't believe when they walked in and saw the stadium and how awestruck they were by the size of it, how many people were there looking around at all the tailgating, all the parking, all the cars. They were just taken aback by the entire experience. And sometimes maybe because we go all the time. I'll give you an example. I was walking through the tunnel, whatever, and there was some tour group behind me. This is, I don't know, it's back in August or something like that. They're like, oh, wow. I'm like, oh, wow, what? I'm like walking the field. And then I sat back and realized, I said, look, don't lose sight of something here. I had to think about it. I was standing in the end zone. You walk through here all the time if they practice or scrimmage or something. You walk through here all the time. For a fan who never gets to do that and isn't as fortunate as you are, me in this case, to do it all the time and whenever, this has to be an awe-inspiring experience for them to walk through the tunnel and look out and boom, and there's the stadium in front of them. And again, this was interesting being around them, how taken aback they were by the pure size of the stadium, the number of people inside the stadium, the number of people in the parking lots, the number of cars out there, all the tailgating. I mean, it really meant, I mean, it really stuck with me how much it meant to them to see it and experience and allow you to see it through fresh eyes. I took them to the Moeller tailgate afterward, and then I took them over to the Tom McGrath tailgate featuring Gary Goloshevsky, by the way. Tom and Julie McGrath and Gary and Amy Goloshevsky. Now, Randy Iles wasn't there, along with Mary Ellen. They chose someplace else, but I was also late getting over there and paying a heavy price, by the way, for being late. Fortunately, I had Kathy with me, and just having her around helped. Because if I just went over there on my own, I'd have been sliced and diced. I would have deserved it, because I was a little late getting over there. But the traffic getting out. How many of you experienced traffic on the way out of the game? They won the game by 31 points. So, I mean, I know it was a beautiful summer, a beautiful fall day. But the traffic, it took me 45 minutes to move from my space to Porter Road. Wow. Just, you know. Again, I mean, because I can look out of the booth and I can see the red taillights all the time. And if it's a really close game, I expect the traffic to be heavy for obvious reasons. Everybody stayed. All right, Joe Susan, next half hour. We'll talk to him, look back on Saturday, and then look ahead with the head coach of the Bison. Great to have you with us on this another beautiful Monday here. Wow, gorgeous out. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, your home for Shikellamy Braves football, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Penn State Nittany Lions. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time to bring in the head football coach at Bucknell, Joe Susan. Coach, welcome. It is great to have you with us on the show again. Appreciate time.
Thank you, Steve. It's good to be here.
Bucknell football supports transitions of PAs walk a mile in her shoes. How important is that kind of work that your players can get involved in the community for important causes?
I think that from a standpoint of the things that we can do, when I made contact with Transitions, Heather Schneider and Susan Mathias, who run it, it winds up being that they were very open to us being a part of it, because a lot of what they do is educational, and they'll go in and speak to younger males about this, and they say that the impact that student-athletes might have on these younger people that they talk to will serve them better in terms of they'll listen to those guys. The other thing, too, that I've always felt about any of the community service that we do, it benefits my guys way more than it benefits the people they're serving. And it keeps them humble, and it really reinforces the importance of understanding the gift they have and never taking any of those things for granted.
First time you've ever faced Monmouth in a game at Bucknell. What were a couple swing things that happened? Is this one of those like four or five plays made a difference kind of game?
You know, one thing I will say about Monmouth, I felt they were a good team coming in, and you know, once you see them in pregame, then you see them during the game. That's the best team we've played against in my 8 years here, from an overall team standpoint, both from a size and strength on their fronts to the skill on the outside. We had a number of scouts here for that game, and obviously they're looking at Abdullah Anderson for us, but they're looking for three players on their side, and it bore up. Swing plays, we had an opportunity to kick a field goal early, and it went right through the hands of the snapper. It was on the ground. And anytime you can score points against a good team, you have to score points. And then we go into halftime, I think it was 21-6, and we come out in the third quarter knowing we're going to get the ball, and somebody asked me a turning point. I thought that the three and out we had in the third quarter impacted us, and it tilted the field for them. They're well coached, very talented, and I think they're going to win a lot of football games. But we're in a bye week, and you know, you have to play the next man up. But we were down really four starters on offense and two starters on defense, and every college football team's dealing with that. But the bye week comes at a real opportunistic time that enables us to get those guys back and healthy, and use the bye week to do some things with our younger players, but also get ready for the next game we have against Cornell. And couldn't come at a better time, both from a mental standpoint, more so as a physical standpoint.
I want to ask you about self-scouting at this point. This also gives you a real opportunity, even though you try to do it all the time on a weekly basis, to self-scout. What kind of opportunity to self-scout yourself will be this week for your staff to then to put into play starting next week?
One of the things that we do all the time is evaluate ourselves, but you're right. When you can step back and have some time to do that, I think it's critical. From an offensive standpoint, I met with my offensive staff this morning, and we're trying to do a lot. I think at times we're trying to do too much, and we're going to pare everything down. We're actually going to change some of the things that we do in terms of communication. And from a defensive standpoint, we felt that as the game went on in their no huddle, that they were doing a good job of getting us to show our hand. And one of the things that these slow no-huddle teams do, or they're up against the clock. And if they're going in that slow manner somewhere along the way, the clock's got to take control where they have to snap the football. And I think what we'll do against some of those teams is really delay tipping our hand, because we know that they're going to try and get us to undress the defense, but also we have to have a sense of where they are on the clock and whether or not they're going fast or slow. But we got to do a better job of tackling, obviously. One of the things Monmouth did that most teams do the opposite, when they showed us their heights and weights on their depth chart, they were very conservative, and they were a heck of a lot bigger and stronger
yeah.
than but, you know, there are five seniors on their offensive line. Their front four and really both their safeties are excellent football players. And one of the safeties is a potential NFL prospect. But you play the team you go against, and you play with the guys you have. But I think we'll get both our starting tight ends back coming into this week, and we'll get our center back, which is important to our offense. Even, you know, we are a young offensive line. So that's going to really help us in terms of moving forward.
Yeah, I was watching the Colts and Seahawks game last night, and the Colts were down to their third center. I don't think people understand that it's not just snapping the ball, but the communication center and what you
right.
do in the offensive line. How important is that guy to what you want to do with your offense?
Well, he sets the schemes, and it's both run and pass in terms of him identifying the front and then identifying who we dictate is the Mike linebacker. And a lot of our schemes, both in terms of run but also in terms of protection, once that guy's ID'd, even if he makes the wrong call, all right, we're wrong. Everybody's wrong together. But Pat Finn has done an outstanding job in the games he's played of making the right call, and I think that's critical. And him being he's really done a great job physically. He was a very good high school wrestler, and it's bore out. In fact, the young man that played for Monmouth was a transfer from West Virginia, where he wrestled at West Virginia. They just wouldn't let him play football. I think the wrestlers, especially on the offensive line at the center position, really in terms of the leverage they have to get, and they've got to be quick with their hands because there's a second there where they only have one hand. But having Pat Finn back will really help us out.
Sunday Night Football this week is going to feature the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans, which also means Julian Davenport. What has it meant to the program, what he, at least in the early stages, has been able to accomplish for Bucknell and now in the pros?
You know, it's a reflection of when somebody is dedicated to his craft. And, you know, the big thing, and I've said this before to you, that he graduated from this place. He actually played some in his second game as a tight end, then didn't play the next week, but played this past week as a tight end because his mom was actually videoing it live. And obviously, the impact he's had on our program in terms of how he taught the younger kids, I think it'll help those younger kids when they become the older kids to teach the younger guys we bring in. And his work ethic and his football IQ, obviously, he skews the average salary of the Bucknell graduating football player. and I hope that's a good thing moving forward. But, you know, what's funny is that while he was here, he never really pestered us for gear. And over the past couple of weeks, I've had a couple of text from Julian, send me some gear. And I'm going to say, okay, you send me a signed jersey and I'll send you gear. But he's a great kid, and it's good to see it work out for him. And I think that because of the way they feel about him, that as long as he stays healthy, he's going to have a long career there. They're doing a great job of coaching him too.
Yeah, no, they are. But you know, and then long term, just to get a guy like that into the league, that shows that, hey, look, football players can be developed to get to the next level at any level.
Right.
Just how important is that just in terms of the message you send when you talk to people? Hey, look, you can get where you're going if you go to Bucknell.
The thing that I've always told recruits is that if you have that ambition, and you have, obviously, you have to back it up with talent and work ethic, the way the scouting system is nowadays, they will find you. All right, regardless of where you go to school. And if they don't find you, they get fired. And you know, the scouting system is such and so thorough. I think the NFL does an outstanding job of really investigating everybody, even to the point of investigating guys that, you know, might not necessarily be that prospect, but they don't want to have somebody else find somebody and them not know about them. And the scouts that have come through here have been really, really thorough in their approach, and it's been a pleasure to deal with them. Obviously, we've had a few for Abdullah, and he's had a good year so far, and we just got to keep him going, and I'm sure he will. He's one of the hardest workers I've ever had, and I could say that about Julian, too. But the work ethic spills over to the other guys on this team.
Always a pleasure, Coach. Find a couple of moments for yourself just to enjoy.
You know me better than that, my man. You know me better than that.
I know, but I just thought I'd throw out the gratuitous advice anyway.
All right. I went out on the bike today. I went out on the bike, and I'll tell you, if my wife's listening, I did wear my helmet. I might be lying there, Steve. So.
but it's always important on this show to maybe send a subtle message.
Exactly. Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
Thank you very much. You have a great day, too. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks. Bye.
Joe Susan on the show with us. Coming up, Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. We'll talk about the Eagles. And also Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Brad Nessler on the show tomorrow. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Talk about the Eagles in the next half hour with Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Ben Jones on State College football, Penn State football in the final half hour. We'll talk with him. He's from statecollege.com. And so great to have you with us on the show. The Nittany Lions will play against Northwestern coming up on Saturday. Ryan Field in Evanston. The dreaded 11 a.m. kick. If I hear about the 11 a.m. kick one more time, I sit there and go, 11 a.m.? What the heck are they talking about? Right? It's 11 a.m. for them. It's 11 a.m. for us. So what are you talking about, 11 a.m. kick? What the heck? I never understand that. It's 11 a.m. No, it's not. It's not 11 a.m. It's noon. Like the Rose Bowl. Rose Bowl game's at 5. Well, no, the game is actually at the 2 o'clock out there. Yeah, but it's 5 o'clock. Yeah, our body clock's 5 o'clock. That's why when you look at... I mean, the big problem is always East Coast to West Coast. Or excuse me, West Coast to East Coast. That's always the problem. For example, UCLA played Memphis. Game was at noon, I think. And, you know, people were talking about, I mean, the problem comes for those teams when they had to go west to east. That's where the issue comes up. And, you know, so the game was at noon. Memphis is in Central Time, by the way. And so since it's in Central Time, you know, they had to sit for UCLA, their body clock said it was 10 a.m. Well, for Northwestern, the body clock says it's 11 a.m. For Penn State, the body clock says it's still noon. It's still noon. No issue. Noon. It's 11 a.m. Okay. You say so. Because all I know is that, you know, whenever I go, I shouldn't say, I don't wear a watch anymore. And believe me, I've got watches. I mean, I've been very, very lucky over the years. I've got a Rose Bowl watch. I've got an NCAA tournament watch, an NIT watch. I've got, you know, a Big Ten watch, whatever. I've got, and I don't usually wear them. I just don't feel like having something hang on my wrist or whatever, so. So I don't usually wear, you know, and especially now with cell phones. Cell phones have clock on them and so forth. But whenever I did have a watch and would travel someplace, if I was just an overnight game, I would never change my watch. Never. Noon kickoff, I just keep my watch on Eastern time. So I just, but I've heard, oh, noon. It's an 11 a.m. start. And the game is not at 11 a.m. It's 11 a.m. Central Time, but it's still at noon. And I do realize that people care. So because they care, they're thinking of anything that is a potential problem. And I completely get that. That they do care. So they get worried about night games at Iowa. They get worried about 11 a.m. Central Time starts. And they guess, okay. And so I do get that very, very much. Okay. Obviously on Saturday, I thought defense played really well. Special teams, except for place kicking. And look, let's face it. They know that, you know, the place kicking has to be much better. They know that. You're going to get into close games where you need to knock one home. And you need to feel that if you get the ball to the 30-yard line, or let's be even a little more conservative, if you get the ball to the 25-yard line, you should feel at minimum confident that you're going to get points.
So that's what you need out of your place-kicking game, that when you get to the 25-yard line, you now feel confident, okay, don't turn it over here. We're going to get points out of this drive. That's how you have to feel about it when your field goal kicking is going well. And they need, obviously, to get that straightened out. But the coverage has been great. The punting has been great. The kickoffs themselves, along with the kickoff coverage, has been great. Return game? Well, they have a punt return and a kickoff return for a touchdown. And that hasn't happened in the same season. Since 2008 when Derek did it. Well, they had both in the same season. And that part's been great. I mean, look at Irvin Charles the last 2 weeks. Single out Irvin Charles again. Irvin Charles, down the road, big things are expected of him as a receiver. He can't be that big, that quick, have the hands he has, without at some point being a factor in the offense. And people have been waiting for him to be a factor. Well, he's been a factor on the football team because of what he's done in special teams. He's the one that downed the ball at the 1 yard line, which then followed up with Iowa getting a safety. He's the one that got downfield and stripped Jawan Harris of the ball that Nick Scott picked up and scored. And he has been a factor in the game. And in fact, you watch the play where he strips the ball from Jashawn Harris, and you watch him off the line of scrimmage. They try to jam him at the line of scrimmage, and he flicks that kid aside as like he's a gnat. All right. Northwestern next, coming off a tough performance at Wisconsin. Where, for the most part, especially in the second half, Wisconsin is stride. Then Northwestern made a comeback, and then Wisconsin got a safety and ended it in 133-24. Really good quarterback. A really good running back are now splitting time with other guys. Interesting.